Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, August the 21st, 2011.
As I said, this is our 3-, 4-, and 5-year-old choir. They're our youngest choir in our summer choirs, and they've got a few songs to share with us this morning, so we're looking forward to that. Thank you guys so much for singing. I'll see you in a little while. I'll come visit you in a few minutes. Parents, can you help us here? A lot of them are down here singing with them. I saw you down here. But if you can help us grab these kids real quick. All right. Well, we want to welcome each of you to our service, and I'd like for you to join us now as we sing and worship the Lord in song. Would you stand with me as we sing together? I don't know if you noticed on the front of the bulletin, there's a finger with a little string tied to it, and it says, "Don't forget." Daryl's going to be sharing with us in a few minutes some things that we need to remember and not to forget as believers. And one thing that I know that sometimes I struggle with is just to know that God is there, and we can praise Him. And the latter part of this song is a great reminder that God is our strong tower. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sing with us.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most high. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most high. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Most high. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Most high. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in.
Praise to the Lord.
Thank you. You may be seated. We can rejoice this morning, can't we? How can we keep from singing? How can we keep from shouting His name and what God has done for us over and over again? The choir would like to share with you this song, Mercies Anew. I think of this song when I think of it, and it's got a little bit of Great is Thy Faithfulness in the intro, but Great is Thy Faithfulness, what a wonderful hymn. And this song just reminds me of that hymn so much when we sing it, but God's mercies are new.
Ben will come forward. We'll take the offering. All right, let's have prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to be involved in this ministry and involved in this ministry in a financial way. We pray that you'd bless this money as it goes around the world to reach others with the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Paul. We appreciate that this morning. And Carmen, for the compliment, the old rugged cross. I'm going to ask you to stand with me once again. We're going to dismiss our kids to their respective choir areas and the Spanish ministry as well. We're glad you're with us. Turn around and shake hands with some folks this morning. With me this morning, Lord, let your light.
Lord, let your light, light of your face, shine on us. Lord, let your light, light of your face, shine on us.
You may be seated. Daryl is coming to share with us this morning. We love Daryl and excited to hear what the Lord's laid on your heart, Daryl.
I am an old timer and I do love the old hymns. I'm not a big chorus guy, though that's fine. I realize there's another generation coming up that loves those, but that is one chorus that blows me away. If we don't have the light of God on our life, it's bad news. We don't have the grace of God to fall upon our life each and every day. We're a miserable people. We have a nation that is rejecting God more and more each and every day. As you watch on the news media, and we have a presidential candidate, Rick Perry, who actually led a prayer meeting, and people are offended by that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What kind of nation have we got? But it was refreshing this morning on Fox News to see that young, good-looking Roman Catholic priest say it was refreshing to hear Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry talk about their faith. Are we talking about our faith? Do we share our faith? It's good to see you today. That chorus just got me going. Psalm 137 in your Holy Bibles. It's great that you are here today. I had a friend of mine with all the bulldozers and all the big heavy equipment out there. I had a guy ask me the other day, man, what's going on at your church? Did you have to have bulldozers? I said, we got so many people coming to our church, we have to cram them in. Oh, don't you wish that was true? It's always tough to preach at home. Every time I am asked to do this, it is something that I love to do, but at the same time, I realize what an awesome responsibility. You see, I love you people, and I don't want to say anything wrong to you guys. I don't want to do anything that's going to necessarily hurt your feelings, but at the same time, things that I need to hear, I'm hoping that you need to hear too. So, consequently, I think about, as I prepare these messages, I think about what we need in our nation. I think about what we need in our church. I think what we need in our families. And God usually gives me two or three things, and then Fred calls me and says, what you going to preach on? I'm not sure yet. I'm working on it. And Pam calls me, what are you going to do? Well, I got this done, but and she said, it's okay. Pastor never lets me know till Friday at noon anyway. So I didn't feel so bad. Let me ask you a question. Any of you today, anybody this week, forget something that was important, and man, you just hated it. Anybody forget anything at all? Look at the hands. So I was not alone at all. As hot as it's been, we have this little pond that that Sylvia and I built several years ago over on the side of our house. And with all the heat, the level of the pond dropped, and I always have to add water to it every now and then, turn the, you know, the hose pipe, wait a minute, faucet, hose pipe, yeah, okay, whatever. That thing that you put in there and you transfer water with, turn that baby on, and I immediately go home. And go up to my house, and I will put on the timer so I'll know when to go down and turn it off. But this time, I go upstairs, and as I'm walking towards the timer, the phone rings, and it's my insurance company, and my mind gets going on insurance things that we're finalizing and settling on. And I forgot to set the timer. Let me just put it this way. The fish were enjoying all the water because I did not remember it until about 24 hours later. So after the service today, we're going to take a collection for my water bill, and any gift will be appreciated. We all do forget, don't we? There are things that we always forget that we don't want to forget, but we do. And some things are funny and hilarious, but some things aren't. My mom began to forget. And it was a disturbing thing when we noticed that in 2005. With her phone calls and, to me, all concerned about not remembering where she put things and getting in the car and forgetting how to get back home. And now my mom's mind is somewhere else, maybe in heaven, who knows? My mom is not who she used to be. Her forgetfulness is a dreaded disease, which is robbing her of her personality. And now I love her, but I do not get the same responses from her that I used to get. Don't get the same smiles. Don't get the little cheery comments that only a mama can give. And I, who love her, don't like to see what she forgets. And I constantly try to bring pictures and remind her, and she doesn't even remember my brother many times. And she can't remember anything about her own family that her mom and dad, which she used to be able to so cheerfully tell us about all the time. And I, who love her, hate that she forgets and that she doesn't know. And in Psalm 137, we look at a sad people, Judah, who, in a desperate situation, find themselves in a desperate situation just because they forgot the God who called them. Do you ever find yourself forgetting some of the most important things about your spiritual life? Do you ever feel like sometimes you're in a spiritual Babylon yourself? You see, Judah had a bright history, almost 350 years, having 20 different kings, unfortunately, 8 of them good, which did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but 12 of them who didn't. And the last 3 were awful. One of the kings of Israel, I think it was Jehoiakim, who Jeremiah wrote a scroll about warnings from God and brought it to him to read. And in the midst of the reading, he took that scroll and he just threw it in the fire and said, I don't want to hear those words. I don't want to hear the words of God anymore. It reminds us of our nation where you don't read the Bible in schools anymore. You don't pray in school. You're going to cast that which is very important out and throw it out. And here we see in Psalm 137 a nation which has been taken into captivity because they forgot God. They forgot the most incredible aspects of their history, which was the God who called them from one person, who called a man, and in faith responded to God, and a nation was established. And even though it had been divided into Israel and Judah, there were still opportunities for the nation to stay together. But no, that miraculous nation was turning their back on God. In Psalm 137, 1 through 4, we read these words. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept. When we remembered Zion, there on the poplars, and I think the King James has willows, we hung our harps, for there our captors ask us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy, and they said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And here's that question. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while we're in a foreign land? You see, forgetting God, folks, produces 4 awful conditions in a human life and soul. And we see them here in these 4 verses. The first awful condition that was experienced by the people of Judah are the bitter, sweet memories. Forgetting God produces bitter, sweet memories in that captivity. You see, here was a people. Get the picture here now. Here's the people who God called and was His. These are my people. I love my people. These were the people who saw the incredible hand of God at work on a regular basis. There were stories of what God did at Jericho. There were stories over and over again of what God did in battles, and how He made sure His people were prosperous and victorious. We also hear people who knew God's presence was with them. The light of God shone on them. In fact, if you will remember, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, the scripture said, it came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud. And the scriptures say there that by the rivers of Babylon, we remembered. But now it was too late. You see, folks, in our land of prosperity and all that we have, that we need to be careful not to forget the good things that God did in the times in our life when we had absolutely nothing and now we have something, lest God take it away and send you to a place where you don't want to be. Our nation is already experiencing economic difficulty like we've never seen in the history of our country. We have millions of people without jobs. Is the hand of judgment upon our nation? Are the good times for America gone? And you need to remember, you're part of America. And if God judges this nation, it judges the people of God also with that nation. The scripture says in Psalms chapter 9 that the heathen will all be cast into hell and all nations which forget God. And you've got to remember that with the people of Judah went those who still loved God, but they were still in captivity. So we have got to pray for our nation. We have got to pray for our church. We have got to pray for one another that in the polarization that's going on in our country, that we don't pull ourselves away from those who need the message the most. I don't know about you, but I don't mind getting around a bunch of lost sinners and a bunch of reprobates and a bunch of heathen. In fact, I miss that I don't get to be around them anymore like I used to. We were talking about intentionality this morning in our Sunday school class. I have to intentionally make sure I put myself in those situations. And that's why I envy my son-in-law and my daughter who get to go with policemen everywhere who have a knowledge of God but may not be living for God. They get to be where the action is and where you can make a true difference in the community and life. They get to be with people and arrest them and still tell them about the Lord. I want you to have the joy of the Lord even though you're going to jail. Bittersweet memories. Think about it. They remembered the glory days of the temple. They remember defeating the Moabites and the Edomites and the Philistines. Oh, I hope that we are not entering in a time where we might experience our own Babylon situation. I don't want our kids to have to go through that. Forgetting God produces bittersweet memories, but forgetting God also makes the circumstances absolutely overwhelming. The scripture says that by the rivers of Babylon, we did sit. No longer were there any great plans being made about what we're going to do in our city of Jerusalem. No longer are there any great plans about what we're going to do the next day with our family. We're in chains. We have absolutely nothing to look forward to. We have no hope of going home anymore. And can you just imagine sitting there knowing that every day you're going to be under the captivity and control of somebody else? We don't understand that. We have absolute freedom. But I will tell you, here the people of God are under the control of their captors. And can't you imagine they remembered the warning from God in Deuteronomy 30 as they sat. And they remember these words that were written I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou, and listen, and thy seed may live. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For, what does it say? He is your life. He's your existence. You must cling close to God. Oh no, now they're remembering the words, but it's too late. It's too little, too late. Now this disobedience puts them in captivity. Now they have to sit. No praising God. They're in misery. Now is the time that they are weeping and crying and absolutely realize that they are in a desperate situation. But I'm hoping they also remember, and I'm sure they did, those words of Isaiah 43, which said this. And I love these words. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. And when thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Oh my. But right now, they're in captivity. Right now, they're under the control of someone else. Can you imagine the circumstances of life and how they come in quickly on you and change your whole world? It's the circumstances of life that make us doubt and make us turn away. Either turn to God or turn away from God. Where are you in your life right now? What are the circumstances of life doing to you? Can you remember the good days, but are the circumstances so overwhelming that you just don't know what you're going to do? You see, the forgetting of God produce not only the bittersweet memories and the overwhelming circumstances, but the Scripture also says that it created an anguish of their soul. The Scripture says there that when we had sat down, we wept and remembered. Oh my. In the midst of despair, God hears the wailing of His people. I know what it's like to be in despair. Many of you do too. I know what it's like to have heart broken. Many of you do too. I know what it means to think that God has forgotten your address and where you live. And why is it that you answered my prayer before but not now? And can't you imagine those children of Judah there sitting by those rivers thinking, surely God is going to send a Samson to rescue us. Surely God is going to raise up a Gideon to come and take care of us. But he had done that over and over and over and over again. Why would you turn your back on God? Why did they do this? Why are we so foolish that we had forgotten God? But here they begin what was needed to turn their hearts back to God. They were weeping and crying, remembering and being aware of the awful mess that they had gotten themselves into. You see, tears are definitely a language, as that song goes, that God understands. God wants to see that His people are broken people. God wants to know that in your heart there is a change. In Psalm 142, the Scripture declares, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication, and I poured out my complaint before Him. And I showed before Him my trouble, my anxiety, the things that's killing me. And when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou know my path. You actually know where I am. You see, it was a good thing that these people were broken. But the fourth thing that we see, that forgetting God, is that they lost the song of their heart. They lost their reason to praise. It says, hey, we took our harps and we hung them on a willow. We lost our song. You've forgotten how to sing? Is there something in your life that's so overwhelming that you have lost your joy? Are you like what verse 4 says, how can we sing the songs of the Lord? Well, I feel like I'm a million miles away from where I need to be. They lost their joy and they lost their hope. But obviously, their captors knew about the musical history of Israel. Why? They had the most fantabulous singers of all. They were the ones who led the congregation of Israel in singing massive songs, and people knew about it all throughout the nations. And here they are saying, sing us one of your songs. Sing us the song of the Lord. But for some reason, they didn't. But folks, in the midst of your pain and unhappiness, and even your captivity, you still need to sing. One of the things that was most amazing about Kathy, as most of you know, is that in those last weeks of her life, last months of her life, the house was filled with music. And of course, it was the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. There wasn't a time that you could go into that house in which it wasn't filled with some praise music. And though Kathy could not move around a whole lot, she was singing at the top of her lungs. You see, just because death may be coming doesn't mean your joy has to leave. Just because you're in a most desperate situation doesn't mean you can't sing. Why? My gracious, I know what it's like to weep and to cry and feel loss. But I remember when my dad died, we stood around and we sang songs. The day Kathy went to heaven, we sat in my house and we sang the songs of Zion. In fact, Kathy said one time, you know, one of these days I'm going to be singing with the angels. And you're going to be down here paying bills. She was right. Oh, folks, don't forget God. Don't lose your joy. Don't forget about your song. Remember when that song was put in your heart? In the deepest, darkest times of night, you cling to that song that gives you hope. We don't have anything else. You see, Paul and Silas sang, and the bars of that prison opened up, didn't it? Oh, hard-headed Jonah was in the belly of the whale when he began to cry out to God, and God rescued him. You know why? Victory comes when you praise God. Victory always comes when you praise God. Some of you may recognize, and I'm sure if you're a musician, you remember William J. Kirkpatrick, who was born in 1838 and was an incredible Methodist choir director. He wrote incredible music. In fact, the song, one of my favorite songs, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves, was written by him. The music was put down by him. Also, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. The music came from William J. Kirkpatrick. He loved camp meetings. In times when he saw revival falling upon his city of Philadelphia or outside of Philadelphia, where I'm sure with all the stuff going on in Philadelphia that I've seen on the news, they wish they were having a revival there. And they were having a camp meeting, and he was noticing, Kirkpatrick noticed, that the soloist who was brought in to sing, as soon as the solo was over, he took off and left. And it burdened him. Why in the world would someone who would sing so beautifully leave? And he became burdened about it. During the course of that camp meeting, he got out on his knees and began praying, God, show me what I need to do. This guy doesn't know God. So God, one night, gave him a song that he penned. And he wrote out the words, and he brought it to that soloist for him to sing one night during the camp meeting. And after that soloist sang that song, he got under such conviction that he stayed for the service and at the end at the altar call came forward and found the Lord. They asked him later on what it was that really caught him and grabbed him in that song. And he said it was these words, and you're familiar with them. And it makes you think about people who have forgotten God, who walk away from God. And those poor folks of Israel and Judah who left for captivity to be scattered all over the world. And here's what the words were. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin, too long I've tried. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. Are you wondering? Is there anyone in this congregation today who has just wandered away? Who's struggling in their own way? Whether you're a believer or a non-believer, you are not where you need to be. You are in a spiritual Babylon. You need to come home. You see, we've got the answers. Not this church, but Christianity has the answers. The God of heaven cares for you more than you care for yourself. You need to come home. You need to follow God. I talked to y'all one Sunday night about my college buddy, Donald, and what a great friend he's been. We never realized how similar our paths have been in our walk with God, but it's amazing. Here, three guys meet randomly in college and become lifelong friends. He always sends out something on Sunday morning, usually something by W.A. Criswell, because that was one of his heroes. But he always sends out something, some song to sing or some gospel song or something. And he wrote out this morning, and I just had to bring it in here to give you something to think about. He wrote this: "With all the problems the U.S. and the world is facing, economic, social, political, and on and on and on for this godless nation, it can be unsettling to the mind of someone who loves God. But we can be assured of some things which can be predicted. What we can be assured, some things can be predicted with certainty. Number one, the Bible will still have all the answers we need. Number two, prayer is still the most powerful force on this earth, and it can change nations. Number three, God loves and still honors the prayers of His people. The next, there will still be room at the cross for the most rotten of sinners. And Jesus will save the lost when they come to Him." Folks, now is the hour of decision. I don't know about you, but I'm scared for my grandchildren in this nation. I don't like the direction that I see us going. I'm mostly concerned that we have gotten as a church, and this may not be this church, but I'm talking about we formed our own little club, so to speak, and we're not being the salt and light that we need to be to lost people. I'm scared. And this nation is just hurtling to hell. We got to make the difference. Somehow or another, by getting on our knees and praying, something's got to happen, that God will raise up churches and people who will herald the good news to turn our nation back to God. And if it's not going to be us, who's it going to be? We're at a decision, aren't we? We've got to make a decision. I don't want anyone in this congregation to go to hell. I don't want anyone in this nation, in this congregation, to forget God and walk away and not come back. I want to see us have revival. I want to see our people united and loving God and then reaching out as often as we can, and in every situation that we can. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'll ask Brother Bill to come forward. Father, You are the God who's called us. Father, You have sealed us with Your name. You have given us a hope and a promise, Lord, that no one can take away. But Father, there may be some in this congregation today who have a false sense of hope for one reason or the other. Holy Spirit, You are the one who brings conviction. God, You are the one who brings people to their knees. And Father, I pray that You will do that, that, Lord, there will be not one in the sound of my voice who will turn their back on God. Father, I do pray for our nation, God, that You'll bring forth evangelists and preachers who will sound the word and that people will respond, Father. Lord, do it again as You've done it in the past. Father, thank You for loving us the way only You can love us. And I pray at this particular time of the service, Lord, that you will minister to hearts the way that you only can. We love you, Father, and praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.